Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
Everyone, this is BT, and welcome to Inside the Episode. Today we go inside episode 103, Slay Your Dragons. How's that for a title, Nagel?
That's a good one, man. I love it.
That was a great episode. In the episode, you started out with the G.K. Chesterton quote, and I'm going to read that again so everybody's refreshed before we get too deep into this. The quote was, "Fairy tales do not tell children the dragons exist. Children already know that dragons exist. Fairy tales tell children the dragons can be killed." So, since this quote pretty much drove the entire episode, what got you interested, or how did you stumble upon this?
I was reading something or listening to something, and I heard it, and I was thinking to myself, that's true. Like, it's one of those things that just hits you. Like, when you hear, you know, a lot of quotes, I love quotes. I love really good, meaty, you know, wisdom in a couple of lines. And this one, it just like smacked me in the head because it really says so much, right? I mean, fairy tales are written as metaphors in life. They're designed with all of the archetypes we're taught in fairy tales as we grow up. So we're understanding truths. Now, the interesting thing about this, T, is that if you study literature, if you study stories, the interesting thing about the stories is that there's something in these stories that is true, that resonates with people. And when that happens, you know it, but you don't know why you know it. You just know it. And it's an interesting thing, like with J.K. Rowling. So she wrote all of the Harry Potter stuff. She got all the archetypes right. That's why it was so big, because all the archetypes within those stories were absolutely correct. And they resonate with a mass population because there's something inherent in our own collective consciousness or psyche or DNA. We don't really know where it is, but we just know that it's there, that when we know that when we hear the truth, we know it. And you've heard me before in live events say the Billy Graham quote. Billy Graham once said that when we hear the truth and we deny it, it leaves deep emotional scars. And I mean, doing events for 20 plus years now, and I'll be up there and I'll be just doing my thing in flow, you know, really crushing it on stage or whatever. And you'll hear people in the audience when I say something that just hits them in the chest. That's true. Right. So that's kind of what it was for me with this. It's like, yeah, that's true. We know the dragons exist. We know that they exist, but what the story tells us is it empowers us or gives us the courage or the awareness to know that we can kill it, because they're all about overcoming, right? It's all about overcoming. I mean, nothing's worth, think about like stories that we've seen where the hero dies at the end, right? Nobody likes that story.
Not at all.
Right? That story blows.
Not at all.
So, yeah, I mean, it was just, I just loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, no, it's great. And you touched upon the battle between good and evil, and it's prominent in this episode. It was prominent in what you just said. You talked about, you know, the Harry Potter series. You know, good and evil is always something there. And you turned it a little bit into, we battle that daily, sometimes without us even knowing it. It's sort of like brimming and boiling underneath the surface in all of us. So I'm going to go a little deep here with this one. What are some strategies that we can do to become more aware of this polarity, this good and evil that lives just beneath the surface in all of us?
So I think that the best thing that we can do is this. We've got to get a separation going in our mind, because most people have a mixture of the good and evil running around, and it's just a chaotic mass of thoughts. And those thoughts are often attached to a lot of different circumstances or whatever the individual is going through at that point in their life. So I'll often do one of those horizontal lines that represent the law of polarity, and I'll be like, you know, here's good on one side, here's evil on the other, and we're somewhere in the middle of this. If we could metaphorically do this with your, like, you could be just driving and do this while you're driving, you're thinking, where do I want to go? So we take what we want and we raise that up high. And then we take where we are and we raise that down as low as we can possibly make it. So there's a division between where we want to go and where we currently are. And then if we say, okay, what are all the attributes that we would align with where we want to go, and kind of write those down, and then what are all of the things that I'm doing that I need to give up to that are holding me down like gravity to where I am? So now we have a separation. We have a clear separation. So that brings order out of that chaos. And then we can determine other things, like what are the disciplines that I need to develop? What, you know, what other attributes do I need to bring into this in order to make this happen? But of course, we have to then do it. But what it does is it gives us some clarity in our mind. Here's where I want to go. Here's where I am. Here's what causes where I want to go. Here's what's keeping me where I am. And, you know, for those of you, don't hesitate to ask somebody to help you with this. Obviously make sure that it's somebody that can actually help you with it. But sometimes it's really good to sit down with somebody and say, hey, I want you, like, there's no ramifications to this. Just tell me, where do you see me not living up to who I could be? Like, just tell me, be honest with me, be really honest with me. Because if you can see something that I'm not seeing, or I'm seeing it in a different way, then maybe I can have a chance of actually fixing it. So it gives us that distance, that breath in between the two, where we can get some clarity to make different decisions.
Yeah, and I think that's what you're really great at, is you've got, you know, this self-inquiry about yourself, where you ask the question, what's the good in this? Even the worst of situations, you're always asking yourself, what is the good in this? Because even the bad is there to teach you something. Even the bad is designed to teach you and move you forward. So I think that's great. So while we're on this topic, oftentimes, you know, many people out there, you know who you are, we run from our metaphorical dragons instead of facing those head on. Is that simply because we want someone else to clean up the mess for us? Or is there some deep-seated pattern that we're repeating over and over again when we turn tail and run away?
You know, I may be completely wrong on this, and I'm willing to be wrong on it because I'm looking for a better answer than with the one that I already have. I think that we have a couple of things. Number one, we've got a huge problem in society that's leading us to this turn tail and run idea when we run up against something. But it's not just turn tail and run. It's like, I'm going to blame you first, then I'm going to run, and then I'm going to hold you in that place of blame, and you're going to stay there. And then I develop a deep and abiding resentment for my own being. And the more that I do that, the more I project it on you, and I have to rip you to fucking shreds in order for me to feel better. And it's destroying our society is what it's doing. I could do an entire podcast on this, but I have a lot of reasons as to what is contributing to this and why this is actually happening. And I'll kind of sum this part up here so I don't go down a rabbit hole. But I really think that it all stems from erroneous beliefs about history and about the way things really are. And then people getting on bandwagons around that to justify their own insecurities, their own resentments, their own shortcomings in life. And I also think this, T, and I think that this is really important, that I don't think we have enough fucking challenges, like, in our life. Like, every one of us can say that our life is probably better than our grandparents was. I can certainly say that. I know you can say that.
For sure.
I don't know that I come across many people that can't say that. There was something to be said for the fact that the generations that came before us had much more serious problems to overcome on a daily basis and through their life that didn't give them time to focus on blaming other people for their situation. And also brought people together closer as families, I think, because people needed each other to accomplish things. Today, it's like we're going to use each other to accomplish things. And because it's relatively easy to, like create wealth, to create, do so many things. Like life itself is not hard. We got a fucking iPhone, right? I mean, you know, we've got air conditioned and heated cars. We're not starving. You know, life is really good for a lot of people. And in a way, what it does is it gives us too much time to think about things in a way that's not healthy. And I think that we create imaginary dragons where they don't exist.
That's great. You also talked about, and this fits in well with what you just said, you know, we all should work to better our own best. What does that look like in your life?
Yeah, well, that's a good one. That probably means that we need to do an update on the transformation by, transformation 2019. Yeah. What does it look like in my own life? Well, I've had some challenges this year, just out of setting new and bigger goals for the year. And, you know, like one of them is one with my health. Like I'm determined to make this transformation. I've got a really good start going, and then I hit a wall because of an injury and some internal inflammation and stuff that was going on. So I had to figure a way around that. And I think I've figured it out. I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but as soon as I'm sure I got it figured out, then we'll do that. We'll do the other transformation thing. But what does it look like for me? So what it looks like for me is looking at my life, where I am now. I'm 53. I'm single. My kids are grown. The company is doing better than it's ever been. And I don't feel like I've accomplished anything. I feel like I'm just getting started. And it's really interesting because I remember hearing people say this like 20 years ago when I was first getting started. And I was thinking to myself, how could you possibly feel that way? I now understand why they feel that way. It feels like for 20 years I've been working just to get ready to do whatever it is that I'm going to do. And I'm still not 100% sure on what that is. I'm following my intuition, the things that I enjoy, the things where I feel like I can make a difference. But I feel like there's something really big that is coming, that it's in a really good way. But I am breaking down. Like I'm currently looking at what are the areas of my life where there's things that I need to let go of. And, you know, really sitting down and going, do I want to let go of this? Is important that I let go of this? If I let go of this, what do I bring in to move myself forward? So I feel like I'm back in the 90s. Because what I did in the 90s was I cut out TV, I cut out going to movies, I removed all the music from my car, and I studied for 7 years. Like I did a deep dive into study. And I'm kind of back in that place. I'm doing a tremendous amount of study and research in the direction that I want to go in life. So I've cut out a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that I was doing that were more leisurely that I've basically whittled down to very little or almost totally stopped doing with the idea of I'm very hungry for something else to move forward.
Yeah. And just to kind of put that into perspective, you just had a vacation last week and the majority of it was spent studying. Most people go and sit on a beach and drink pina coladas and stare at the ocean, and that's great. Not saying it isn't. You find a tremendous amount of solace and pride, I'm sure, in just drilling down and studying some new things. And we get the benefit of that, and I think you do as well. So I'm so glad you shared that. That's so freaking cool.
And that's we had a great 4th of July party and everything, but really, yeah, it's like 98% of that vacation was spent studying. And it was great because there were no coaching calls, there were no phone calls, there were no meetings, there were no podcasts, there was nothing else that I needed to do except research the things that I really wanted to research. So I was literally spending probably about 15 to 17 hours a day studying. Like I was, like it was serious, serious, serious.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, we all appreciate that. All right, last one today. You know, this was a fairy tale heavy episode. You know, obviously the title was Slay Your Dragon. So I was wondering if you wouldn't mind sharing with our audience a dragon slaying moment from your life, whether it was recently or in the past, that maybe we've heard before, maybe we haven't, but just a reminder that we all have dragons that need to be slayed. What was one from your life?
Well, I can tell you one that I probably have never talked about before from my childhood. So when I was 13, give a little reference on this for a second. When I was born in Chicago, and in 1976, my parents moved us to Phoenix. And we lived there until around like 78 and a half, 79. I know we were back in Chicago in 79. My parents got divorced. We bounced around living with some relatives, me and my brother, and then ended up starting high school, and we were in this apartment. Well, the divorce affected my mother in a horrible way, and she basically just disappeared for 3 years. So from 13 to 16, I didn't get much of her. There was very little guidance in my life at that point. So I was kind of self-guided, and I was terrified. And I was terrified because coming back to inner city Chicago after living on the rural end of North Phoenix at the time, where it was just desert and we would ride our motorbikes out in the desert all day long. I mean, it was a total culture shock for me. So I was dealing with gangs. I was dealing with bullies. I was dealing with just a lot of crap that I had never experienced before. So there was not really anybody to go to get advice. And there was also, like, I didn't even know how to get around. So when my parents were together, and this might sound silly, but if you really think about it, when you're 13 years old, this is really kind of a wake-up call. We had a school bus. My mom and dad would drive me and my brother anywhere we needed to go. And then they get divorced. We move to Chicago, and my mom's not around. And I'm like, well, how do I get to this place or that place? And she's like, take public transportation. And I'm like, what the fuck is public transportation? I had no idea. Like, I had never taken a bus in my life. You know, I never took the L train or any, like, I had to figure out how to do all these different things without anybody there to help show me. And it was scary. Like, it was scary when I was a kid. I didn't know if I was going to accidentally stumble into a wrong neighborhood. I didn't know my way around the city. I had to figure out how to get and go everywhere on my own. And she grew up with taking stuff like public. Like, she knew how to do all that, but she told me to do it like I was supposed to know, and I had no idea. So it was also helping raise my brother and being alone at night. And, you know, it was definitely one day at a time type of a thing to get through that, to get through those 3 years. And then I left home when I was like 17. So that was, for me, that was a big dragon, because I think those 3 years really shaped a lot about where I was going in life, and made me come up with a lot of, it made me think and make a lot of decisions based on what I can trust, what I couldn't trust, what I needed to do for myself. And it forced me to start to become self-sufficient. And I think that those 3 years really gave me a foundation for being able to not be afraid and take risks futuristically. Like, when it was time for me to start my business, it wasn't as hard for me as I see it for other people, because, like, I've had nothing. I've had to scrounge. I've had to take, you know, we used to take Coke bottles in back to the store when you used to recycle them, so that we had extra money for things, whether that was a bus ticket or I don't know, like, what would you buy with Coke bottles today? I don't remember everything that we bought with it, but every nickel and dime counted then. So yeah. It taught me to be resourceful.
That's great. Well, thank you so much. This was an outstanding episode. I'd encourage people to go back and listen to episode 103, Slay Your Dragons. Listen to it again and again, and you're going to pick up something new each and every time, because David really, you know, he just dove right into this. He's fresh. He's on his game, and this was an outstanding episode. So thanks for sticking around, David. This was great, and we'll catch you on the next one.
My pleasure, T. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.